Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
This morning, but don't do that. Just wave at him or give him an elbow bump or something rather. It is a privilege. I love having Mission Sunday. Usually, we're celebrating with at least two other missionaries and sometimes three. But this year, because of COVID, we weren't sure exactly what was going to be happening in February. So I'm very pleased, Zach, that you have come to us. First-time missionaries, but you've been ministering for quite some time in your dad's church, I know. His mom and dad pastor in Richmond, Indiana, and have for a lot of years, probably 30, 32 years. They've been there, and so Zach grew up in that church. You're not much older than that, are you? Zach, come, and you can introduce these handsome fellows as well. They're not all his. He has a rent-a-kid with him today, so welcome, brother. Good to have you with
us. Thank you so much. Good morning. I said good morning, church. We are so excited about being here today. You guys have a beautiful facility. We like to explore. And so we were exploring and we lost breadcrumbs. I mean, the building just kept going and going and going. And we walked through one door and there was more doors to keep going through. And I'm not going to say which one, but one of these guys is like, let's try to get in this door. Fortunately, it was locked, so we couldn't do... You guys can take your mask off so they can see your beautiful faces. So I'm Zach, and my wife Amy sends her love. We have a four-year-old Paxton, and he's a firecracker. And so it was just best that he stayed home with Mama today. So she sends her love. And our daughter Sydney right there in the middle, she's about to turn 12. And it's so much better when she's here with us because she makes us look a lot better. So sorry you're stuck with the JV team today with the good-looking group of guys, but I'll let them introduce themselves and we'll share just briefly what we get the opportunity to do.
Hi, I'm Paco, and I'm 7 years old, and I have a verse for you. If I rise on the wings of a dawn and tread on the far side of a sea, even though your hand will guide me, you are right here and will hold me fast. Psalms 100:9-15.
Hello, my name is Grant. I am 13 years old, and my verse is Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. For the earth gives way, those waters run in form, and those waters tremble at its swelling.
Hi, my name is Connor, and I'm 13, and...
This is our rent-a-kid for today. In the mission family, the missionary kids, they look up to the adults and their uncles and aunties. So I'm Uncle Zach to Connor, and Uncle Zach said, just come up with us and look good. And isn't he doing a good job at it? This is Connor Pongratz. If you look over, he's a little bit changed from the picture you have on your wall, but this is who this handsome guy is. So thanks for joining me up here, fellas. I appreciate it. I just want to share real quick about what we get the opportunity to do. God has called us, and he's not just called me and my wife, but he's called our whole family. All four of us, or all four of the kids, six of us total, to go to Africa, to sell everything that we have, and to move to Cape Town for two reasons. One, In the next 10 to 15 years, 70% of the continent of Africa will be urbanized, meaning that people are leaving the bush and the village, and they're going to these big city centers, these big cities, and they're looking for happiness. They're looking for hope. They're looking for love. And I think there's an old hymn that said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on. I know you heard that hymn before. But let me tell you, we get the opportunity with your partnership to plant a church in Cape Town. So when they're looking, we can introduce them to hope, and his name is Jesus. We get to introduce them to love. Love that's unfailing and never ending. And we get to introduce them to God. And when you give to missions, that's what you're giving. You're giving to missionaries all over the world to bring hope to the hopeless. The second thing that we get to do is pretty incredible. There's 19 million kids in South Africa. 19 million. And right now, in Cape Town, there is zero. Oh, you can wait. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. You're all wondering what in the world is going to happen here in a few minutes. You can just go back to our family picture if you'd like. That'd be great. 19 million kids. And in Cape Town, there's zero missionaries to work with the kids. There's no Assembly of God missionaries in Cape Town, in South Africa, to work with kids. So we get to plant a church, and we get to work with kids. And so that's what your partnership does. And we're just blessed to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here. And in just a minute, we'll bring the word, and I'm excited about what God has for us today.
I want to give you an opportunity to give to these folks. As he said, this is their first venture out into missions as full-time missionaries, and so we're going to be picking them up, and I pray that the church will be blessed to support them for many years to come. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand once again? And we have plates up here in the front. If you would like to bring an offering, you come on up here and bring it. And I think you're going to play something as they do. There we go. Come on. I think Ned is going to put a plate upstairs up there for those of you that are in the balcony and too young to come down the stairs. You may be seated. Zach, come preach the word to us. May God bless you, brother.
My bad. Sorry. Again, we are grateful for your giving. More importantly, we're grateful for your prayers. We have a reminder for you as you leave today. If you stop by our table on the way out, we have an easy reminder. It's a prayer card. We have them on our refrigerator because I frequent that area a lot. You can laugh. It's all right, church. So would you just grab one of those and maybe put it in the spot that you're going to see? And whenever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to pray, will you just pray for us? And we would appreciate it. Also, we have an opportunity, if you'd like, we have our team shirts, these Urban Tribe shirts. If you'd be interested, we have those for purchase at our table. They're $20. The $20 helps cover the cost of the shirt, and then that goes directly to planting the church in Cape Town. And then you can be part of our team and wear these and support us. And when people ask what Urban Tribes is, you can tell them it's part of a church planting initiative in Africa. So if you'd be interested, no pressure, but we have them for sale. When I was talking to your pastor, he's like, would you be comfortable preaching? And I told him, I've been a preacher a lot longer than I have been a missionary. I love to preach. I'm a third-generation ordained Assemblies of God pastor, preacher. My dad and mom have been in Richmond for 32 years. We just left our assignment as student ministry pastors on the east side of Indy, far east side, 30th and Post, where you hear the news from Indy. That's my neighborhoods, and I love it. I love them. It's awesome. And so I just celebrated my 17th year of preaching, and I started when I was 20. And so I just want to get in the Word. Is that all right with you? I love what Grant said today in his verse, Psalms 46. Our God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. When we started itinerating, God put that verse in my heart, having no idea the year that we were going to go through. But I'm here to tell you today, church, our God is ever-present help in times of trouble. Come on, I'm a hollerback preacher. I need somebody to holler back at me this morning. The God that we serve is not on vacation. He hasn't left. He hasn't quit. He hasn't given up. He's not drinking lemonade, sitting in the sun. The God that I serve is, I'm going to have to come down here this morning if you don't help me out, is an ever-present help in times of trouble. When you're standing in that Walmart line and you're in a hurry and you're in the quick checkout and the lady in front of you's got 55 items, 27 coupons, your mask is rubbing your double chin, your glasses are all fogged up. Now I'm getting personal. Now you know it's coming. This is real life right here. That God that we serve is an ever-present help in times of trouble. When you're driving down the road and you're trying to get to your destination and that farmer is going so slow. Come on, I know where I'm at in Bedford, Indiana. That's real life. And you're like, you try to pass, and then there's another farmer with the combine rolling down the street with his little, come on. In that moment, the God that we serve is an ever-present help in times of trouble. So why should we fear? Though the earth gives way and the mountains shake and crumble to the surging of the sea, God is there and he's ever-present help. When you walk out to the mailbox and you open that bill and you say, dear God, how in the world? God is ever-present help. When you're sitting in the doctor's office and that diagnosis comes across and they say words that you never want to hear, church, I'm here to tell you today that God is ever-present help in times of trouble. When your kids are wilding out and you're telling them, stop yelling! The God I serve is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Today I want to talk about the image of God. See, that's just one verse out of thousands that we can see who God really is, and we can see the characteristics. If I love that you can start in Genesis and you can go all the way through Revelation and you read verses like this that ignite your spirit and your soul and set you on fire and remind you the God that we serve isn't like anybody else. So today I want to preach the message called The Image of God. The Image of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, not just to speak your word, but God, that we can be doers of it. And so, God, I pray today as we learn your image and the characteristics of what you have for us, I pray today that you will equip us and remind us that you're motivating us to missions for the whole world to hear how good you are. We love you and your sons, and we pray. And everybody said, amen. In John chapter 4, verse number 7, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone on to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Verse number 10, Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." See, this story that we read this morning, church, is an amazing description of the search that people are on in their life. This lady was living a lifestyle that was ungodly. And what she didn't realize is that she had an encounter today. And I'm thankful for the encounters that we have with Jesus that change our life forever. And this lady didn't realize that she was on a search, and what she was searching for was the Latin phrase, the Imago Dei. Look at your neighbor, say, "Your neighbor, Imago Dei." Look at your other neighbor and say, "Your other neighbor who I chose second, Imago Dei." Imago Dei, simply, the image of God. The image of God. People are on the search for the image of God. If we're not careful, church, because we know that this world is corrupt, that this world is volatile. Just switch on the news for 5 minutes and you'll see that our country is in grave need to encounter the image of God. And if we're not careful, what the world will do will superimpose upon us what we feel to be the truth and try to hijack what we know to be the image of God. See, let's talk about that Walmart line for a second. If we're not careful, we're going to show them an image, but is it truly the image of God? I mean, I've unfortunately been in those situations after church on a Sunday, look at my Sunday best. My kids are going crazy. They're throwing chicken nuggets across the table. There's fries. And that poor little waitress doing her very best. And I give her a dollar. Come on. This is real. I'm being transparent as I can. Did I truly in that moment show her the image of God? She knew where I came from. She knew who I was just worshiping. Did I do my God justice in that moment? So that's what I want to propose to you today. Are we truly being the image of God? What motivates us? What pushes us? What drives us to missions? Why in the world would I take my kids out of the comforts of this beautiful country we live in and sell all of our stuff? What motivates us? What drives us? It's that very idea, the very principle that people are on search for the image of God. It's our job to show it to them. And so I want to today tell you three motives that pushes us to missions. And I want to do it in a way, I love the stories that Jesus tells, and you can learn. And I want to kind of just share a story of one of my kids. I don't have those cool mission stories yet. I have a couple from like short-term trips, but I wanted to share one for my kid. And now we're going to get into these pictures. The first picture of Parker is a nice one. Look at this first picture. Thanks for the audio team. Look at that kid right there. Isn't he handsome? All the mamas and grandmamas in the room go, "Ah." Oh. All the dads say inside, because we need to. But let me just tell you, church, that is fake. That is a facade. That was like 10 seconds max. Can I really show you the true Parker James Holdeman that I know? It's these pictures right here. Now it's going to make sense why you saw these pictures earlier. There you go. That is the true Parker. That one. Let me just describe some of these real quick for you. His favorite snack after school is SpaghettiOs with meatballs. I try to give him SpaghettiOs without meatballs, and it's different. For some reason, those little processed meatballs, and that changes the whole thing. And he's wearing a white T-shirt. He goes, Mama knows I do not want to get in trouble with Mama, so I got to put a white, I got my white T-shirt on. I can't ruin it, so I got to put a napkin. And so he put a napkin in his shirt to not ruin his white T-shirt. But every SpaghettiO somehow jumped over the napkin and landed all over his white T-shirt. It's like he had a perfect square of the napkin, and he ruined the white T-shirt. He came up with the brand new character. It was a Mr. Incredible outfit with a Captain America cape, shark head, and a detective hat. That's the world that he lives in. Yeah. And do you see the spoon sticking out of his mouth and the crazy in his eye? That's the true Parker. That's really him. And one day I heard this. The only thing I can think of, it's a Greek word, and the Greek word is ruckus. Okay, it's a joke. Ruckus is not Greek. But I heard the sound, and that's the only thing I could describe as a ruckus. And I walked in, and we had this little personal trampoline in his room because he's got a little extra energy that he's got to get out. Come on, some of you know, have one of those kids maybe. You were one of those kids. You maybe still be one of those kids. You're just an adult body now, right? And so I turned the corner, and he's jumping on his trampoline, and he had a wolf hat on. And I strategically put this picture. I took it strategically because he had a wolf hat on. And I'm going to leave it to that. Somebody just got it. Now a little bit more of you got it. He had a wolf hat on. Yeah, somebody really got it over there. Listen, so he was watching his brother and sister, and he decided that he wanted to play basketball. And so I, if our computer friend, you can just go to this first basketball picture. This was his statistics playing basketball. 4-1, 50 pounds and 0 points. He was terrible at basketball. We blame the coaching staff. I was his coach. He wasn't, like, really, in one game, I looked at his mom and said, we need to try, like, instruments. Like, he needs to do something else other than sports. And so his mama agreed. And so now he's drawing, and he's really good artist, not athletic. And so, like, church, if I can just, as my son, I'm not trying to bash him. He knows his strengths, and he knows his weaknesses, and that's good. He shot in the game one time. And missed everything except for the back of one of his teammates' heads. He hit. I said, Parker, why do you like basketball so much? And this is what Parker had to say. He said, I like basketball because after every game, I get a snack. And so the night came where he was going to get a trophy. You're probably wondering, Zach, what in the world does this have to do with missions? You went on a way bad rabbit trail. And you even brought pictures along. I feel bad for my computer friends up there because they go, do you have pictures? And they're probably like thinking they're going to have like Africa children pictures. And like, but they had a wolf hat picture. Too much coffee, I guess, I had this morning. Listen, so he got his picture and his trophy. And I have a picture of him with his trophy. And he's standing on the stage and they call his name. And he has his trophy, and he's holding his trophy, and he says, and I noticed that the longer he had his trophy, the bigger his smile got, and the whiter his knuckles turned. He was so proud of that trophy. Maybe you remember those moments in your life where You had that proud moment in your life. And so it's time to leave, and we were walking out of the gymnasium, and me and Grant opened the doors for him, and like he hesitated just for a minute to walk out the doors. And I was like, okay, something's about to go down. What's Parker getting ready to do? It's almost like he was waiting for ESPN to show up to do like a 30 by 30 interview with Parker. Like, Parker, the man, the myth, the legend, GOAT. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what. But instead, what he did was priceless. He took a step out of the gym and he threw his trophy in the air. He had this new swagger about him. He's like, look at this trophy. Look what I got. This is my trophy. It's like he just won the Super Bowl. It's like, yeah. He's like kissing the thing, kissing the trophy. And then I saw crazy in his eye. I'm like, okay, we got to get a phone because something is about to happen. And he took a step on the curb to get higher so more people could see his trophy. And as he did, he tripped and he fell. And he broke his trophy right in half. You're all so kind. His older brother laughed. And he still laughs to this day about it. And so you're probably wondering, okay, Zach, what's this got to do with missions? Why would you tell us that story? And I want to go back to the word, the Imago Dei, the image of God. And I want to talk about what motivates us for missions. Why we do what we do. And it's about this whole idea, and it's going to make sense in just a second. Number one, the first thing that motivates us to missions is value. Because if we truly believe in the image of God, that means every man, woman, child are valued by God. Because they are the objects of God's desire and attention to get back and to restore what was lost. See, that night, church, when Parker fell and broke his trophy, you know what happened? He did not throw that trophy away. Oh, my trophy's broke. I'm done with it. No, church, you know what he did? He tried to fix it. Why? Because he still valued it. The problem with today's society is that we think if something's broke, it lost value. But I'm here to tell you today, that's a lie from the enemy. No matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're facing right now, you are valued. Why? Because of the Imago Dei, the image of God. You are made in the image of God. No matter the continent you live, no matter the language you speak, the Imago Dei, the image of God, you have value. See, that night that Parker broke his trophy, that trophy still had the same amount of value when he first got it to when it was broken. And I don't know your story today. I don't know what weight that you came to the sanctuary with today. But what I do know is that you belong to the Father and you have value. You're His, who He fearfully and wonderfully knitted together, that every head on your head is numbered. I make it easy for Him. You are valued because you belong to Him. See, let me just remind you. In Genesis chapter 1, we read of creation. And we hear the amazing story of creation. God said, let there be light. And we know light was there. Let's separate the light and the dark. And let's create water. And let's create land and separate them. And let's have birds rule the air. And fish rule the sea and lands. And then he something amazing happened. And you know what happened. He said, let's create man in our image. But he didn't just say, I want a finger. I want 10 of them. I want a nose, a mouth. Let's have 2 ears, 2 eyes. No. He didn't do that, did he? What I love, the image that we read in Genesis, that man was formed when God came down. And he got in the dirt. And he started to get his hands dirty to form us. It wasn't just another let there be, and it was, he took time, and he formed, and he put together, and he took his time, and he said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And then what's remarkable is that he didn't stop there, but then he breathed his life. The DNA of heaven was breathed into man, and the heart began to beat. And the lungs fill with oxygen, and blood begin to flow through the body. Why? Because he made us in our image. We have value. He took our time. He took his time on us. The same God that formed man knows the exact situation you are in your life today. And he knows what you're going through. And he sees the brokenness. I love in Exodus where he says, I've heard the cry of my people, and Moses, I'm sending you to help. Moses says, who am I? And when I go, who do I say sent me? He says, I am who I am. And the God who sent Moses is sending you today to tell people that they are valued. And you're valued. And I love what he says. God says to Moses in Exodus 3. He says, well, God, who do I am who I am. He says, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. And I'm the God of Jacob. Not Israel, but Jacob. Because he's the God of all of you. Not just the change, but he's the God of your past. And I'm thankful that when I've messed up, that he has not lost any value in me, that I'm still his. Value. The second thing that motivates us to missions. One, value. Two, capacity. Capacity. If I truly believe that all people are made in the image of God, that means we all have been designed, every person, with the ability, the capacity to authentically embrace God's grace and be radically changed by it when we hear the gospel. Capacity. See that night that Parker broke his trophy? I don't know if you've ever done this in your life, but you've broken something. You're like, oh, that really didn't just happen, did it? And you try to, like, put it back together. He picked up that trophy, and he frantically tried to put his trophy back together, and he couldn't. And the more that he tried to put his trophy back together, the bigger of a mess the trophy was. What happened, though, next was amazing. He said, Dad, I can't fix it. I need your help. You're here today. And if your life's a mess, you're not going to fix it on your own. If you can fix your mess on your own, my question is, why haven't you already done it? You can't do it. But capacity is the ability to say, God, I need you. What can wash away my sins? Come on, somebody. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the capacity that God has put inside of us to be changed by the gospel. I'm thankful for capacity. Heard a story of a young man who was born. And at the age of 2, his mama died. At the age of 5, there was a tragic accident on the farm, and his dad died. At the age of 5, he was orphaned. Grew up in aunties and uncles' houses. And then, during World War II, was enlisted and fought in the war. Came back to this small little town in Mishawaka, Indiana, after being injured in the war, and worked in a rubber factory. And in this factory, he was hanging out with his buddies, and they were drinking, and they were smoking, and he was a womanizer. And his buddies stopped him one day, goes, "Hey, I bet you can't marry that or date that girl over there." He's like, "Watch, I'll get her on a date." So he walked up to her. He said, "Hey, I'm going to take you out." And she goes, "You talking to me? No, you're not. No, that's not going to happen." And she goes, he goes, "Ah, come on. Let's just go. Let me take you to dinner." She's like, "No, the only place I'll ever take you is the church." He said, "Was that considered a date? Then we can go." And he told his buddies, "Hey, I got her. Got her on a date." And so that night he went to a revival service like Pastor was talking about earlier. In this revival service, he sat in the back row by this lady, this girl. And he heard the story of grace. And like most preachers do, we ask everybody at the end of the service to bow your head and close your eyes. If you need Jesus in your life to forgive your sins, raise your hand. And the pastor said, "I see that hand." And this young man looked up to see whose hand it was, and it was his. This revival service, this young man stumbled. People said it was like he was walking to the altar with the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he got there and asked Jesus to forgive him. In that moment, God extended grace and forgave him. And from that moment, he was delivered from alcohol and cigarettes. He said the next day in the factory, he said one cuss word. And he stopped and said, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know this relationship. But if you help me, I'll follow you." That's the last word cuss word he ever said. A couple years later, he married that lady. Those are my grandparents. You remember that third generation AG ordained preacher? Capacity changes everything. He planted four churches in northern Indiana. Capacity changes everything. I'm thankful for capacity. That when I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And his grace is sufficient. So you have value, you have capacity. And the third and final, the worship team, if it's customary, if the worship team joins, one person from the worship team wants to come up, and just however you guys do it would be great. And I'm going to close. So you all know that's like 20 more minutes. No, I'm just kidding. At least 15. Who give me five more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. I got 40 minutes, Pastor, they gave me. That's old Martha Tennyson joke I stole from. So, value. Today you're valued not because of the things that you have, but who you belong to. Capacity. The grace of God in your life. Today can change you. And I don't know what you walked into this sanctuary, the sin that you have in your heart that nobody else knows about, but God can forgive you today of that. And the third one, you have value, you have capacity, and significance. See, I had to teach Parker a lesson that night. Because unfortunately, Pastor, Parker got that trophy and he thought he was significant now because he had a trophy. But what I had to teach him was that he wasn't significant because he got a trophy. He was significant because he's my kid. You are not significant because of your bank account. You're not significant because of the amount of cars you have in your driveway, how big your house is, or the title you carry. You are significant because you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're significant because the Imago Dei, the image of God. You're significant because you were created to be his kid. See, no matter how bad it was during basketball season, Parker's mama would sit on the front row and have the big button on her shirt with that big old face, that big old grin, and she'd be proud. Why? Not because he was playing basketball, but because it was her kid. And church, I'm here to tell you today, there's a lot of people going to wake up tomorrow morning feeling significant because their team won the game tonight, but that's not what you get significance from. You are significant because you're God's kid. Because you belong to him. See, what motivates us to missions is not the color of people's skin or the language they speak or how poor or how rich they are. We are motivated to missions because they're significant, because they belong to God. They are his. And you're significant today because you belong to him. See, tonight there's a team going to win a trophy. But right now, I'm staring in the face of hundreds of trophies. Because you're his trophy. You're his masterpiece. I love what Paul says. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he had planned for us long ago. Isaiah 43, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. What's the motivation behind missions? You're valued. You have capacity to change. And you're significant. Can you all do me a favor just for the next few minutes? Just close your eyes and bow your head. Nobody looking around. I want to ask two questions today, church. Then we'll close and we'll pray and close, and then you can be on your day, but the next few minutes are the most critical for today. My first question, you're here today and nobody would know, but you have sin that has so easily entangled you, as the word says. And you need to use the capacity inside of your heart that God has given you to be changed, to ask God to forgive you of sin. If that's you right now, you say, Zach, there's sin in my heart and I need God to forgive me. If that's you, will you just raise your hand right now? Let me see. Who is it? Maybe there's things inside of you. Yeah, I appreciate the hand. Who else? There's things that nobody else will know about. Yeah, I see it. Thank you. And you need God to forgive you, and you need to be radically changed today. Who else? You're here, there's two. Who else? There's sin in your heart, and you need God to forgive you of that sin. It's not to embarrass you, not to call you out, but just so we know who we're praying with. Anybody else? God, you see these two hands that were raised today. God, you see the sin in their heart. Sin separates us from you. And so, God, I pray right now that you remove that sin and cast as far as east is from the west. And God, that you will change us. That you'll forgive us. And we call on you right now. My second question is, you're going through some earth-shaking things and you need to be reminded right now that you are his kid and that he's got you, that he's never leaving you, he's not forgetting about you. Yeah, the obstacles may seem so high, but I want to remind you that he's an ever-present help, and you need that help, and you need to be reminded right now that you are valued because you belong to him. Who's that right now? Let me see. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I see that. You're waving at me. I see it. Who else? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Who else is it? Come on. Yes, I see it. Yep, right there. Can I, can, can we do something, not to embarrass you, but if you raise your hand, as everyone today is standing to your feet, if everyone would just stand to your feet, if you raise your hand, will you just, as they begin to sing a song, will you just make your way to the front? And we just want to pray. Yeah, people are moving now. If you raise your hand and you say, that's me, I'm going through some things, and I need my church to have my back, and I need to be reminded that I am valued. Come on, if you raise your hand, will you just move right now to the front? Come on, there were some others. Not to make fun of you, not to embarrass you, but just so we can pray. And as they come to the front, will you just stretch forth your hand to them right now and just pray that God will be with them. No matter what they're going through, that they will be reminded today, right now, this moment, that they are valued, that they are significant. They belong to the King. Come on, there was others that you raised your hand. Come on, this is your moment right now that God can touch you and heal you and set you free from some things. Come on, let's just pray.
Oh my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through.
Thank you that you are ever present help in times of trouble. And so, God, every person who came to the front today, God, everybody in their seat who they're struggling and they're fighting and the earth is shaking beneath their feet, God, today I pray right now with your hands stretched forth from heaven and pick them up. And grab them and remind them and sit them on your lap today, God, and remind them that they are valued, not because of who they are, but because they belong to you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no one like you. God, there's no one that comes close to you. God, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are the Christ, that you are the Lord. So, God, I pray right now that you remind them that they're significant, because they carry your name, because they are your son, they are your daughter, and whom you love. Be with them today, God.
Praise you. Father in heaven, we just thank you today that we've had this glorious privilege to be in your house. We ask, oh Lord, that you would do a significant work in each life that's reaching out to you right now. May your Holy Spirit have full, complete rule and reign in our lives. And as we live our lives in you, may we find that significance that you promised to us. Bless us now as we leave this house, but not your presence. For Lord, we take you out into a hurting, struggling world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Please be reverent for these who are seeking the Lord this morning.